This is Fresh Air. The singer you may think of as one of the best in the history of rock and roll is my guest choice for the most overrated.
Yeah, walk across the floor with a flower in your hand, trying to tell me no one understands. Trading your hours for a handful of dimes. Gonna make it, baby, in our prime. Good together one more time.
In the new book, The Worst Rock and Roll Records of All Time, Jim Morrison is described as an overwrought singer who wrote doggerel and had a band that sounded like a group on loan from the local Econolodge cocktail room. Sure, this book recognizes the awful contributions Pat Boone and Joey Bishop made to rock and roll, but most of the entries are by performers who have been taken very seriously within rock. My guests are the co-authors of the new book, rock critic Jimmy Gutterman, and Owen O'Donnell, who works in publishing. They grew up together in Bayonne, New Jersey. Jimmy told me what their criteria were for choosing the worst rock and roll records of all time.
For the most part, the criteria to get into the worst rock and roll records of all time was stature and control. Anyone can make a bad record, but a bad record by someone on the level of the Aretha Franklins, the Rolling Stones, someone like that, is a lot more interesting than a bad record by Lionel Richie. There's probably not that much difference between his bad stuff and his good stuff. So he had stature, and at the same time we wanted to do control. The artist had to at least have passively condoned the project. That means that a lot of performers who have had their early demo recordings released by unscrupulous ex-managers were not included here because it wasn't fair to them.
Okay, I'm going to go through some of your picks for the worst singles. And why don't we start with number 39, which is Simon and Garfunkel's Dangling Conversation. Well, why? I'm sure a lot of people really love the record. Why is it on your list of the worst?
You know, a lot of guys pretend to be poets to pick up girls. I think that's pretty much why that's on our list.
And you read your Emily Dickinson, and I my Robert Frost. And we note our place with bookmarkers that measure what we've lost. Like a poem poorly written, we are verses out of rhythm, couplets out of rhyme, in syncopated time. And the dangling conversation and the superficial sigh are the words of our lives.
I think Simon and Garfunkel sum up one of your rules of rock and roll, which is that rock lyrics aren't poetry.
Well, actually, Simon and Garfunkel sum up two of our rules of rock and roll. That's one. The other one is admit you're balding.
No, not balding, follically challenged.
Oh.
Follically challenged, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Did either of you have English teachers who taught rock lyrics as poetry?
No, I was fortunate enough to have escaped that course in college.
No. I was spared that particular form of torture.
Now the rule that your rule that rock lyrics aren't poetry also applies to somebody who has an entry on your list of the worst albums, and that's Bono and his band U2.
Well, they're not lyrics, especially if they're sung by either Bono or Sting.
Okay, well, moving right along on your list of the worst singles, getting down to number 5. We have Peter, Paul, and Mary, I Dig Rock and Roll Music.
Right. I Dig Rock and Roll Music sounds as if it was recorded by a bunch of parents who were trying to do a parody of what they thought rock and roll was all about.
Right. It helps if you're doing a parody of something to understand and have a feeling for what you're parodying.
And Peter, Paul, and Mary had no sense of rock and roll.
No. I mean, they were the original Dylan elitists.
It was like Peter Yarrow used to ask people at concerts if they preferred Peter, Paul, and Mary's version of Blowing in the Wind to Bob Dylan's or not.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the poll results with me right now.
A subjective audience, I'd imagine.
I dig rock and roll music and love to get the chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound going down today. The message may or mean a great deal to me, but hey,
Okay, number one. Wouldn't Casey Kasem say weighing in at number one?
Weighing in at number one.
We have Chuck Berry's recording of My Ding-a-ling. This was his only number one hit. Why
Absolutely.
Do you hate it?
Well, that's justification enough right there. None of his other songs, from Johnny B. Goode, Maybelline, Brown Eyed Handsome Man, you could go on and on, ever reached number one. Chuck Berry, undoubtedly, in our opinion again, one of the most influential, if not the most influential, lyricist in the entire history of rock and roll. How could it be that this one little third grade double entendre Diddy gets to be number one?
I mean, we can't blame Chuck for his success on this song, but the idea of the greatest lyricist in rock and roll reduced to telling bathroom jokes that are titillating only to the very drunk or the very young is rather depressing.
And then Mama took me to grammar school, but I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh,
ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling,
I want you to play with my
ding-a-ling.
That is beautiful. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah.
So I guess this choice of My Ding-a-ling kind of sums up what you're doing with the book, choosing artists of, for the most part, artists of real importance who put out a really bad record.
Right. I mean,
unworthy of them.
Right. I mean, we love these guys. I just finished a book which is called The Best of Rock and Roll, which some people have called the antidote to this book. And some of the same people show up in both books. Rod Stewart's in both books. Aretha Franklin's in both books. Bunch of people.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Owen O'Donnell and Jimmy Gutterman, co-authors of the new book, The Worst Rock and Roll Records. We'll take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Owen O'Donnell and Jimmy Gutterman are my guests, co-authors of the new book, The Worst Rock and Roll Records of All Time. Let's move along to your choices for the worst albums of all time. Why don't we start with the very pretentious choice for number 15, The Moody Blues.
The Moody Blues.
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past was a very important album in the progression of art rock, which was probably one of the most distressing aspects of rock and roll over the past 30 years or so. Well, it was an unwritten rule until we wrote it, which is that the more instruments you put on an album, the worse it is going to be.
Unless Van Morrison is singing.
Well, however, when you have an entire London Symphony Orchestra, London Festival Orchestra,
they
playing along with you, then that pretty much qualifies you as not being a real rock and roll album.
'Cause I love you.
Rock groups and blues bands lining up to play with the London Symphony Orchestra at about that time?
Sure, and it's still happening. Eric Clapton recently did a number of recordings with an orchestra. I think that Paul McCartney just wrote his first orchestral piece. I think, fortunately, you have to be in Liverpool to hear that, though, because that's where they did that.
It seems as if rock and roll artists use symphonies as a bid for, quote-unquote, legitimacy when they're very legitimate in their own right.
Wasn't Spinal Tap going to play with the London Symphony Orchestra also?
Well, yeah, they were going to do, what was it, David St. Hubbins' version of the Jack the Ripper story, Saucy Jack. Actually, we probably know that film by heart.
Yeah, I'm sure.
As do most real rock and roll fans. Although after you've spent some time on the road with a band, it's not that funny anymore.
Moving right along, you've chosen not only the worst records, but the worst rock and rollers of all time. Your choice for the worst rock and roller of all time is Billy Joel, and I think you chose him because you're not convinced he's a real rock and roller.
Even though that's something that he has protested frequently. I mean, his song Piano Man was an FM staple, and I'm certainly in favor of broad formats on radio and whatnot, but it's something in Walt's time that couldn't be considered rock and roll by any definition thereof. Didn't even have any rock attitude. I think that he's someone who is somewhat successful as a middle-of-the-road crooner and manipulator of those styles, but he seems to be someone who really wants the sort of rock and roll legitimacy that his work does not entitle him.
Is there a record that annoys you the most that Billy Joel has recorded?
I think that really a summation of our entire attitude towards Billy Joel is it's still rock and roll to me. He just goes on and on about trying to prove what he thinks rock and roll is. And sorry, Billy, doesn't cut it.
Well, let's give it a listen.
Good.
How about a pair of pink sidewinders and a bright orange pair of pants? Well, you could really be a Bo Brummel, baby, if you just give it half a chance. Don't waste your money on a new set of speakers. You get more mileage from a cheap pair of sneakers. Licks face, new way, dance crazy. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me.
I'm going to ask you for a confession here, and I'm going to ask you to confess to something that you used to like that you're really ashamed to admit to now.
Well, we had to know a lot about Queen to write about them in the book. I think that's pretty much the one that I would feel sorry for. Although, actually, Queen was one of the reasons that I wound up getting smarter about music. I was 14 years old, took the train into Madison Square Garden to see Queen. Didn't much care for the show, actually. That was one of the things that turned me away from them. Except for their last encore, they did what in retrospect was probably an extremely anorexic version of Jailhouse Rock. And I was, which is a song that as a 14-year-old I had never really thought much of. And on the way home in the train, I'm thinking, well, I didn't much care for the show, but this was something different and everything. And so, in a very strange way, going to see Queen had something to do with my learning about Elvis Presley and early rock and roll and going back from there and eventually finding this ridiculous way I have of making a living right now.
Well, my confession is something that I used to listen to and something that I still listen to, and I am going to get this off my chest now, but I still listen to the Kingston Trio.
Really?
Oh, Owen, I didn't know that.
Jimmy no longer wants to have anything to do with
me. I'm not going to your house anymore.
And what do you like about them?
I think that one of the thing that I like mainly about them is that they sound like they're having fun. They sound real. It was three guys in the studio who were just playing. And to me, that's what, whether it's, they were obviously folk-based, but to me, that's the entire essence of rock and roll, is to have fun.
I don't think this interview would be complete unless I suggested one of my choices.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
I wanted that in the book.
Oh, good.
Don't you think that's so deep that that's poetry?
That's the thing.
I mean, look at that original imagery. All that glitters is gold. I mean, we've never really heard anything quite like that before.
I remember having a job in an office and, you know, the radio would be on. And whenever that would come on, the woman who I work with would always say to me, "But what does that song mean to you?" And I also think that we can credit that record with kind of like kicking off that really like bloated heavy metal ballad style.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. I mean, whenever you listen to Whitesnake on the radio, you can blame Robert Plant.
Really. It's amazing, though. Another confession that I have to make is that...
What is this, therapy?
Really. The state of New York rock and roll music radios on the radio is such that you can't turn on the station for more than 5 minutes without hearing a Led Zeppelin song.
It's and the law.
And I actually find myself liking it for the first time in years. I could do without Robert Plant's vocals. That's it. But if you listen to the band, it was a great band.
Jimmy Gutterman and Owen O'Donnell are the authors of the worst rock and roll records of all time.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold. And she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows
What do those lyrics mean to you? This is Fresh Air.